Welcome to the National Awakening Conference call. My name is Marlon Sharp. I'm the National Field Director for STAND. And we want to welcome our host, Bishop E.W. Jackson.
Thanks so much, Pastor Marlon, and thanks, everybody, for joining us. I wanted to do this call and be your speaker today because this is the last call of 2022, and we will not be back again until January the 10th. Let me say right off the bat, Merry Christmas, everybody, and Happy New Year. I trust that this year is going to end well for you and for your families, and that next year will even be a better year, that it will be a better year, not only for you and for your family, but for our country as well. And that's what I want to talk to you all a little bit about today. But, of course, before I start, let's, as always, open up with a word of prayer. Heavenly Father, thank you so much once again for the freedom that we enjoy in this great nation. What we are doing right now that we take for granted in many countries, this would get you arrested, put in prison, and perhaps even killed. We can meet and discuss our country, our politics, our government. We can criticize our government. We can criticize our president. We can criticize our Congress and whomever we wish. And while there are forces that want to limit those First Amendment freedoms, Lord, we still maintain them. And part of the reason why we host this call, Lord, is to preserve them, because we do believe that they are in danger. And if we do not fight to preserve them, they will soon be completely eroded. And so we thank you for the freedom that we yet have to defend freedom. We thank you for the freedom of speech that we have to defend freedom of speech. Now help us to continue to fight no matter how it looks at any given moment. Help us to remind ourselves that our spiritual and intellectual father, the father of our nation, lost far more battles than he won. In fact, I'm told that he only really won two. But he won the one that mattered, the one that secured our liberty. And so, Lord, help us to remember that even though we may lose many battles, ultimately, it's the one that matters that will determine the destiny and future of this country. And we might not know when that battle happens or what that battle is, but we must be prepared, as George Washington was prepared, to fight to the very end, knowing that it's not over until we win. Thank you for these patriots on this call, these activists, these leaders who have stood up and refused to bow down or back down. Lord God, it's been a tough year in some ways. It ended with an election that disappointed all of us. But we know that it's not over, because it's not over unless we quit, and we're not quitting. So thank you for their courage. Thank you for their fortitude, their determination to see this through to the end. And Lord, thank you for STAND. Thank you for the many donors and supporters, the many prayers, the many words of encouragement that we've received during the 13 years of this organization's existence that has allowed us to keep this call going and so many other things that we do going. And Lord, we pray that you'll continue to raise up friends and supporters of what we're trying to do, who understand our vision, understand our mission, and will help us to carry it out. Because we really believe that what we do is one of the essential elements of saving this country. And Lord, that is our ultimate motivation, to save our country, to preserve our constitutional republic. We've been accused of being fascists. We've been accused of being racist. We've been accused of being haters and xenophobes and bigots of every kind. But the fact of the matter is, we are in love with the United States of America. And we know that we have something worth preserving, and that there are those who want to demoralize us and dismantle this country. They want to fundamentally transform it into something else. And we who love this country, we who are patriots, are simply not going to allow it to happen, not on our watch. Strengthen us and help us to continue to fight the good fight of faith all the way to victory. We want to see the Marxist and socialist and atheist and secularist mindset that is categorically opposed to our Judeo-Christian culture and values, categorically opposed to our constitutional freedoms and rights and liberties that are rooted and grounded in God, not in man. There are people who are absolutely against all of that. And Lord, we want to see their ideas cast on the dung heap of human history and the dung heap of American history, looked at only in wonder that people could have thought that way at one point. But we want to hand off to our posterity people who can say, thank God my father, my grandfather, my great-grandfather fought, and now we still have liberty that was threatened to be taken away. So, Lord, we commit our country to you. We commit this Christmas season to you, our families, every institution of our nation that has been captured by this leftist cult and the abominable thinking that is so confused so many people and that has so led our country in the wrong direction. We put all of that into your loving care, and we believe you that 2023 is going to be one of the best years our nation has ever had, and is going to see us begin to come out of this morass that has captured the hearts and minds of so many, young and old. And we thank you and we praise you for the victory, even though we haven't yet experienced it. We still believe for it, just like George Washington believed for our liberty and our freedom and independence from Great Britain, when the whole world was probably looking and thinking, it'll never happen. They'll never defeat Great Britain. But he did. We did. And so, Lord, we will defeat the forces of Marxism, even though the whole world may be looking, China may be looking, Russia may be looking and thinking to themselves, no, America's going down. It is eroding and decaying from within. We're going to surprise them with a glorious resurrection, and they're going to see that the American people are still strong and that America still rests upon faith in God and we the people, not faith in politicians or we the elitists. So we give you the praise, the honor, and the glory. In Jesus Christ's name we pray. Amen. 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 Well, folks, I just want to thank all of you for sticking with us all these years. I know that many of you have been on this call for years, and I've traveled to places and had people. In fact, I was just out in Colorado and teaching a class out there for Caris College, and one of the students came up to me and said, I'm on most of the calls. And I said, oh, well, wonderful. So people are on these calls, even though there's a handful who tend to ask the questions. There are people on these calls from all over the country, and we are so very grateful that all of you have stuck with us and supported this and encouraged it. And this call has now become an institution because it's at least a decade old, and probably just a couple years older than that, but at least a decade old, and we intended to continue it, and we thank you for your support in doing so. Well, look, I got a couple things I want to say to you, and then I'm going to open it up for your questions and comments as always. A friend of mine called me this morning, actually called accidentally when I returned the call. We got into a conversation, and the person said, I was telling my friends how you talked me off the ledge after the last election. I said, talked you off the ledge? I said, yeah, because I was really discouraged. A lot of people that I know were really discouraged and just thought, you know, we're not winning this, and we're wasting our time, and this is simply not going to work. They've got control of everything, including the elections, and they win them even if it means cheating. And, of course, there's a lot to be said for that point of view. I think, you know, it's not inaccurate. I just don't think it's the whole picture. And so I hope I don't have to talk anybody on this call off the ledge and who's thinking of just giving up, feeling like it's a waste of time and what we're doing is not working and we're not winning. And I just want to encourage you, as I did in my prayer, that this country was built by people who often failed long and hard before they won. And so we are in that same position right now. We are refounders, if you will, of our country. And we may end up having to fight long and hard before we win, but I'm confident of this, that we will win. In the same way that the hand of God, what our founding fathers called providence, was upon them, and when things looked horrible, they looked bleak, in fact, they looked unwinnable. Nevertheless, the hand of God was in the midst, assuring, guaranteeing that there would be ultimate victory. The thing that God needed most was a leader who would not quit. And he found that in George Washington, which is why he's my favorite American historical figure. And I really believe that he is the indispensable man for the foundation and formation and establishment of this country, because he may not have been, people say, well, he wasn't that great a general and all of that. I think he deserves more credit than he gets in that regard. But here's the quality that he had. He was absolutely, unswervingly determined to see it through to liberty, and he did. And so here we are, his intellectual and spiritual heirs, all of us here as Americans, because of the great leadership and sacrifice of George Washington. And I'm convinced that God is raising up leaders like that today. I believe that Donald Trump in his first term was one of those leaders. I don't know what will happen in this upcoming election, but I believe that God is raising up those leaders. Look at DeSantis down in Florida. And look at some of the congressional people that we've elected here in recent years. I think of Bob Good particularly, and others who are just absolutely determined to see America remain a free constitutional republic, not some sort of perverse, what the left likes to call, the Democratic Party loves to call, our democracy. But what they really mean is a mobocracy in which they can cobble together enough support to do pretty much what they want to do, whatever they want to do, whether the Constitution allows it or not. And you see, they behave that way. They behave that way through COVID. Biden behaves that way now, that they don't care what the Constitution says. They only care what they want to do. And if they can get away with it, they will. And, of course, if they can't, they get reined in. They only live to fight another day. They don't ever say, well, you know, that's right. We need to obey the Constitution. No, they don't say that. In fact, they've got scholars at Harvard and Yale writing articles now about how the Constitution is a dead letter. It's a dead document written by a bunch of white racists and slave owners that doesn't deserve our respect today. But the fact is, it's been the most successful governing document in the history of mankind. It deserves not only our respect, it deserves our reverence. It's not the Bible, but I'll tell you what, it's kind of the Bible for America, in a sense, in governing terms, at least, you know, not in spiritual terms, but in governing terms. And so I just want to encourage all of you, we're going to win this fight. We are going to win it. I am absolutely certain of that. I don't mean I'm just saying that out of some rhetorical flourish. I am absolutely certain that we are going to win. I don't know exactly how it's going to work out in the same way that George Washington couldn't have imagined what would happen at Yorktown. He didn't plan that out years in advance. It's just the way things worked because the hand of God was working it. And I think the same is true for us. You see, our job is to simply be faithful, to stay at it, to not back up, to not quit, to not give in, to not get discouraged. That's our job. God will take care of the rest. And for those of you who are familiar with Scripture know that the story of Jehoshaphat, when he faced the people of Mount Seir and the Ammonites and the Moabites coming at him, in other words, it was an army far too large for the children of Israel to be able to handle. And he didn't have any idea how they were going to confront this looming crisis. And the Bible says he lifted his eyes toward heaven and said, Lord, we don't know what to do, but our eyes are on you. And when it boiled down to was God told them, set yourself, stand still, and see the salvation of the Lord. And that was not a passive commandment. It was a very active commandment, because what God said to them was, take to the battlefield, get set, be ready to fight, and I will fight the battle for you. And I think that that's where we are. We've got to always be on the battlefield. We've got to always be set. But we got to know that God is going to give us the victory. He's the one who's ultimately going to fight the battle for us. And when either we, in years to come, or our posterity looks back on this era and says, wow, you know, it's amazing what came out of that. It's amazing how the Constitution was strengthened. It's amazing how liberty was preserved. They will say, you remember that strange thing that happened? Boy, that was really odd how that worked out. And I don't know what that strange thing will be, but I know it will be the hand of God. That I know. And that's our faith, that if God gave us this great nation, and I believe that with all my heart, Romans 11:29 says, the gifts and the calling of God are without revocation. That means God will not revoke what he gives unless you abdicate it. And we are not abdicating. And so God is not revoking. We are not abdicating. That means we've got to win. There's no other way to look at it. And I know people say, but you know, the Bible says the world's going to become wicked and the world's going to have to be judged by God and all of that. And that is all absolutely true. And I'm not in any way doubting that. I'm a man of the word, so I don't doubt that. But here's what I do say, that Jesus said, when the time comes, he will divide the sheep nations from the goat nations. And I want America to be a sheep nation. I want America to be a nation whose God is the Lord. And while I know we can't stop people from sinning and we can't stop sin from running its course, I do believe we can stop our country from becoming a cauldron of sin. You know, the book of Psalms says that the wicked shall be turned to hell and all the nations that forget God. I want my nation to be one that doesn't forget God. And I think that if we can do that, even as a remnant, Isaiah 5 says, the children of Israel, unless the Lord had left us a very small remnant, we would have become as Sodom, we would have been like Gomorrah. That remnant is enough to preserve us and to see to it that America does not become Sodom and Gomorrah. I know some of you may think, well, we're already there, but no, we're not. We're not. They want to have these drag queen story hours, but guess what? They're getting a lot of pushback and a lot of people calling it grooming. And the mainstream media wants to side with the perverse and the degenerate and the depraved, but we just keep standing up for the truth, because the truth is far more powerful than the lies that they're telling and the scheme that they're engaged in to essentially exploit our children for their own sexual pleasures. I mean, it's disgusting, it's degrading, and we're simply not going to allow it to continue. All we can do is simply is not give up and not back up. And let me give you an example. I said, I don't know who I'm going to support for president. I don't know whether I might run for president myself. Some people have suggested it. But I will say this. I know who I'm not going to support. I'm not going to support Mike Pence. And I know Mike Pence. I've met him. I don't know him well or anything. We're not close friends, but I do know him. I've met him. And I like him as a person. But I think he is a weak leader. And we need a strong leader. Mike Pence was asked the question the other day, why do you think that the Democrat Party is allowing these open borders, just people flooding across the borders in this way? He had a golden opportunity to give a bold, forthright answer and to say that these people are trying to undermine the nature of our country, and they think that these illegal immigrants will be part of their key. They are interested in creating a one-party state, and they think that these illegal immigrants would be part of the power base to allow them to do that. They're giving out T-shirts that say, Biden got me over, or Biden brought me over. They're thinking that they are buying their adherence to the Democrat Party. And we're not going to let them take our country by violating our sovereignty and undermining the rule of law so that they can have political advantage. That's what they really are up to. But he didn't. Well, I don't want to second guess people's motives. I'm sure they have noble ideas. Oh, please. And I thought to myself, what a weakling. I mean, come on. There's no logical basis for what they're doing at the border, other than they think it's going to work to their political advantage. Because these are the same people who used to say, we've got to close the border. What's changed? What's changed is the political calculus, that they now see the advantage of having all these people pouring across the border as long as they believe they can have them be loyal to them. they're basically buying power. That's what the reparations movement is all about. In California, they're talking about giving $223,000 to each black person who can prove that they're descendants of slaves. They're talking about doing something similar in New York. This is not about solving a problem that ended 155 years ago. This is about buying people and buying power. That's what it's all about. And frankly, we've got to have leadership that is willing to call that out. I mean, in our own small way, that's what we're doing here. That's what Stand is doing. We're calling this stuff out. And, you know, we're not wild-eyed, crazy conspiracy theories, but we're also not afraid to deal with conspiracies when we see them. And frankly, in my view, the left is in a cult-like conspiracy to fundamentally alter the very nature of this country. It's crystal clear to me. And we've got to have leaders who are willing to say that without apology, without equivocation, without compromise, because the American people need to be awakened. And if we're mealy-mouthed and milquetoast and half-baked, they won't, you know, like the Bible says, if the trumpet gives an uncertain sound, who shall prepare for the battle? In other words, if it's kind of a weak nothing, well, what does that tell me? Maybe it doesn't tell me much of anything. So we've got to have leadership that is willing to stand up and be bold and forthright. And I really believe that God is giving us that kind of leadership, that there, some of them are still in the bullpen, if you will. Some of them are still on the bench, but they will emerge. And they will do in the same way that David emerged from the sheepfold and walked out onto a battlefield and ultimately became the champion that changed overnight the condition of Israel. I believe God is raising up those kinds of leaders for us now. So, look, thank you for your support. I want you all to continue to help us. I want you to get more active with us. In 2023, we're going to have a big push to start chapters around the country. We've got a lot of support around the country, but we've only got one active chapter right now around the country. And we want to organize into chapters so that we can begin to address these issues in an organized way. So if you are interested in starting a chapter, talk to Pastor Marlon Sharp. You know how to email us. Email us and say, hey, I'm interested in starting a chapter in my city, in my town, in my state, whatever. We want to encourage that. We're hoping that by the end of 2023, we will have chapters that will have emerged all over the country. We are also having a big push now for Patriot partners to sign up with us. You know, I've always been a grassroots person. They're talking now about Stacey Abrams ran through $100 million, and her organizations are essentially broke. She's $1 million in debt, and she got $100 million. She's now out of office and in debt. Well, folks, what I could do with $100 million, what I could do with $10 million, what I could do with $1 million, I mean, because our budget doesn't come anywhere near that. And yet we went down into Georgia and went up against Stacey Abrams and went up against Raphael Warnock. And while we helped to defeat Stacey Abrams, we came within only 1 point of defeating Raphael Warnock with a candidate that most people say was at best flawed. Good man. I love Herschel Walker. But, of course, they exploited the baggage that he had in his background, and apparently he was not able to do the same against Raphael Warnock because the mainstream media wouldn't cooperate with him. And I can understand it because when we were running ads, the biggest station in Atlanta refused to run our ads, and they nitpicked them over our crime statistics and over our statements about abortion, just because it wasn't because they had any factual dispute with what we were saying. It was because they didn't want the ads to be heard. They didn't want the black community to hear those ads because they were afraid that they would move voters in the direction of Herschel Walker and away from Raphael Warnock. So I understand that what he was up against. But even with all of that, he almost won it. He almost won it, not to mention who knows what other kind of shenanigans were pulled down in Georgia. So, folks, we're on the cusp of something. Yeah, we didn't get the big breakthrough we were hoping in the House, and we didn't take the Senate, but 2024 is coming. We're going to have a new president. We're going to have, I believe, the Republicans take over the Senate because we're poised to do that because of the seats that are coming up for election. And I think we will expand our our leadership in the House. I think we will expand our margin of votes in the House so that we can get more done. I think 2024 will be a watershed moment. That's what we're looking at right now, and hoping that in 2023 we will be able to take over the Senate here in Virginia. We got the House back in 2021. 2023, we're hoping to take over the Senate. So if you want to help us, not just by attending the calls and your prayers, if those are important, but you want to sign on as a Patriot Partner, I've got a special inducement for you today. I have a new book that is coming out. The launch date is January the 18th. It's called Sweet Land of Liberty, Reflections of a Patriot Descended from Slaves. And I tell you, folks, I am so thankful to God for this book. It is a labor of love. It took me years to write it. It is hardcover, over 350 pages. It is a substantial book. I think you will get a great deal out of it because it answers a lot of this racial stuff that is happening in our country. And if you sign up as a Patriot Partner to give Stand at least $50 a month, we'll give you the book for free. Now, not only the book for free, but you'll get a personally signed copy of the book, and it will be numbered. Now, I'm only numbering the books for Patriot Partners who sign up. I'm not numbering them for everybody. And, of course, once the books hit the market, the books that will be sold at Barnes & Noble and Books A Million and Amazon will not be numbered, obviously. I'm talking about books that will be numbered and personally signed by me. So you may get the 10th book or the 11th book, and who knows, depending upon how history unfolds, there may come a time when having a book with a low number like that that's been personally signed by me will really be a worthwhile heirloom. But I want to make that available to our Patriot Partners who sign up for at least $50 a month. Our goal is to get to 500. We are at 238 right now. We want to add 12 before the end of the year. So if you are not a Patriot Partner, and by the way, you don't have to sign up for $50 a month. You can do it for 5 or 10 or 15. And you sign up for at least 25, we're going to give you a free sweatshirt that says Stand for Merry Christmas. Or if you want something different, we'll be happy to accommodate you. Just go on the website, go to the store, and pick out what you like, and we'll send you a free sweatshirt. But you can sign up as a Patriot Partner for as little as $5 a month. Doesn't matter what the amount is ultimately. We just want you on board with us, helping us, because the more Patriot Partners we have, the more stable our budget is, the less time I have to spend on the telephone dialing for dollars, asking big donors if they will give big sums of money to help us do what we're doing. We've always been a grassroots organization. I'm a grassroots person, and I depend upon grassroots people to support the work that we're doing. It makes it a lot easier than depending upon one or two or three major donors. So that's Patriot Partner. Just go to our website, standamerica.us, sign up, and we will be keeping track, and you will get a numbered, signed copy of the book. We want to add 250 Patriot Partners by the end of the year, next year, and so we're going to probably number that many if it goes well, but we're starting with 100. And, of course, the first few are already taken because you can imagine who gets number one, my wife. My wife is getting the first signed copy of the book. And then there are a few others, of course, family members and very, very dear friends who have just supported me for literally decades that I want to honor with that. But for Patriot Partners, as soon as we get through that, those few, we will start numbering the books for you. And I don't know where that will land, but it won't be up in the 50s or 60s. It'll be probably in the teens, 12, 13, 14. And, of course, we're going to do this on a first-come, first-served basis. So the first one to sign up will get the lowest number that's available and so on. And that's the way we will work it. So if you want to get one of those low-numbered books, feel free to go to the website and sign up for standamerica.us, Patriot Partner, and we will send you a free copy of the book. And, by the way, I've got my own author's courtesy copies now. They're just not available to the public yet, so you'll be getting them. They won't be available to the public for another month, so you'll be getting an early release copy of the book and have it before anybody else does. In fact, I talked to a friend of mine. I already said, you send me a bunch of them and wanted to buy a bunch of books. So I've got enough to be able to accommodate probably all of you and some more as well. But they'll soon go public and on January the 18th, and they'll be available for everybody. But, of course, those books will not be signed by me, and they certainly won't be numbered. All right, now let me add one other thing, and then I'll spend the last 10 minutes taking some phone calls. The book is called Sweet Land of Liberty, Reflections of a Patriot Descended from Slaves, because I'm convinced of this. Race is the thing that the left is using to dismantle our country. Race is the thing they're using. You say, well, now, wait a minute, we got bigger issues than race. But now just think about it. Think about it for a second. They make everything a racial issue. Climate is racial. The roads are racial. I mean, you've heard Pete Buttigieg talking about, we got to deal with the, what does he call it? The transportation racism or something like that, the way bridges have been built and the way roads have been built and where they've been built. The climate is a matter of racism because there's racial justice that's, you know, I mean, is there anything, this new abomination of a bill, the Respect for Marriage Act, what did they attach to it? Oh, we've got to protect interracial marriage because these racist conservative Republicans want to ban that. I mean, that is so preposterous, it's barely even worth the breath it takes to answer it. But that's how they roll. That's what they do. They're using race for everything. President Trump wanted to shut down traffic from China, which is what's the epicenter of COVID. That's racist. He wants to close the border. That's racist. Everything. I mean, it's used to deal with everything. It's used as an answer for everything. Oh, standards in school. Those are racist. Standardized tests. Those are racist. I mean, they're using race to dismantle every aspect of our culture and every value that's held us together as a nation. I mean, we say one nation under God. And remember the school board that said, well, we're not having our kids say the Pledge of Allegiance because it's racist. Now, look, I know that the problems we have are far broader. What I'm pointing out to you is this is sort of the poison pill that they're using to try to dismantle and deconstruct everything about our country. And that's why I think my book is so important, Reflections of a Patriot Descended from Slaves, because I am black. I'm an American of African ancestry. My ancestors were slaves, but I love this country more than life itself. I think this is, again, other than salvation through Jesus Christ, this nation is one of the greatest gifts that God has ever given a people. More opportunity to fulfill your God-given potential, more hope, more upward mobility than any nation that's ever existed. By far, no other nation comes anywhere close. And here's why race has become so important to them, because it is a substitute for class warfare and economic disparity. See, the very upward mobility of our nation, the ability of people to, like me, born in poverty. I was talking to some other folks while I was out in Colorado about their backgrounds and the difficulties of their upbringing and some of the things that they went through. No matter who you are, and this is not racial, but they want to make it racial, you can be born into the most difficult, painful, horrible circumstances and yet rise to be affluent and to have wonderful people and things and just enjoy the very best of life. So you can't really use class in our country because it just doesn't work. But race, it has all the emotional appeal and all the advantages of psychological and emotional manipulation because it's based on an immutable characteristic. And if you can convince people that they are inherently victimized and inherently oppressed, even when they become affluent, even when they become successful, they still play the role of victim. And you can still use that to say, and therefore government must do more. Government must become more intrusive. Government must have more power. Government must give reparations. Government must do everything. It must become God. Because that's the only way to do the inherent injustice of this nation. I mean, after all, right? I mean, it's inherently white supremacist. It's inherently and systemically racist. And my book really is a defense against all of that. And so I said that simply to say, not to try to sell the book, but to say this. We have got to dismantle that whole ideological construct. We've got to come against it. We've got to end it. And when we do, by the way, the Democrat Party crumbles. The whole leftist construct crumbles because it's built on that, folks. That's how you get 90%, 95% of the black vote. You demagogue and you propagandize and you scare people and you convince people that they are all victims of the racism of the Republican Party and the conservatives and something, you've got to do something to stop them. And the only thing you can do to stop them is you got to elect us because we will be your champions. I mean, all lies out of the pit of hell. But lies work. Goebbels said it. Hitler said it. You just tell a lie, tell it big enough, tell it often enough, and it becomes the truth in the minds of people. And the only way we're going to stop it is we're going to have to be as bold with the truth as they are with their lies. It brings me back to the point that we, as one organization, we don't have the $100 million that Stacey Abrams had, but we're going to continue to use every dime that we get to continue the mission of bringing Americans together across racial and cultural lines rather than seeing us ripped apart as a nation, seeing us tribalized and turned into warring factions. Thank you for your help. Thank you for all that you all have done to make this possible. I've run out of time. I'll tell you what, though, I'm going to stay over. I've got a radio program that I have to do at 1 o'clock, but I'm going to stay over for a few extra minutes to take some quick comments because I just feel this is the last meeting of the year, and I owe it to you all to give you an opportunity to express whatever is on your hearts and minds. So let's go ahead and do that for about 10 minutes or so. Let's take some questions and comments that I can respond to.
Hello, Bishop. This is Dr. Marlene McMillan in Texas.
Hey, Marlene.
First of all, I want to say congratulations on the book. We're looking forward to it. What I'd like for you to talk about here, and I'll set it up really quick, but it's about the enemy within. I'm more concerned with the enemy within than without. And we have a lot of Christians promoting the Davos New World Order agenda in education in their churches. They don't even realize it, not knowing what the dialectic process is or being able to recognize. So you have all these parents who are told, our school doesn't use CRT here. We don't use those words. But even if they don't call it that, they use the methods that result in the same destruction.
Mm-hmm.
So we have all these homeschoolers, these wonderful parents, who are running away from the government schools, not realizing that they're running into the same things in their Christian schools and their homeschool curriculum. And so so I want you to deal with that. And then I do want to put on the table, when I love you using the word refounder, that we are working on this 40-year plan about stopping short-term thinking and going to more long-term thinking. So that's all I have to say. Thank you so much.
Well, Marlene, thank you. And thank you, Marlene, for staying on the front lines of this. And here again, folks, we come back to this whole racial thing with CRT. And Marlene is absolutely right. This stuff is infiltrating. I say it's like a cancer that has metastasized. And it's in the churches. I mean, I'm sure you all saw T.D. Jakes endorsing Beto O'Rourke. People heard about Creflo Dollar endorsing Stacey Abrams. I mean, these are mega churches. And by the way, this stuff is not just infiltrating predominantly black churches. It's infiltrating churches all over the country. You see the United Methodist Church is having a split over this transgenderism. And some United Methodist churches even want to have drag queen story hours in the church. So it is absolutely true. I would say this because I want to get some more comments in. If you're in one of those churches, see, my recommendation would be, unless the Lord has specifically told you something different, you need to get out of there. Why are you giving your money to something that you know is working against everything you believe in? So I would say, come out from among them, be separate, touch not the unclean thing, and I will receive you, says the Lord, and find yourself a Bible-believing, Bible-teaching, Bible-preaching church, and a pastor who's got the courage to apply the word of God to the issues of the day as opposed to running from them. And that's true in every institution of life. Why are we giving our money to these colleges and universities that are turning our children into Marxists? Okay, let me stop there. Let's take the next one.
Hey, Bishop Jackson, I would just want to make a statement about Christians. I think they forget on voting that we should be as wise as serpents and gentle as doves. Now, you know, we're being told, just take the case from Judge Roy Moore. I'm from Alabama, in Alabama, and look what happened to him. And he was rewarded $7 million, but we didn't get nothing. But you had Herschel Walker. People just didn't want to vote for him. Well, if you go back to my history, you probably wouldn't want to vote for me, but hey, I've changed. I've changed in my heart, in my mind, and in my soul. That's what people forget. And Herschel Walker was talking about Jesus, and he was actually had sincerity to it. But I think the Christians and people just forgot it. Thank you for letting me tell
you. Amen.
Thanks, sir.
Thank you, brother. Look, I couldn't agree with you more. I was 1,000% behind Herschel Walker. I didn't believe the stuff that they were saying, first of all, about his past. But as you point out, yeah, that was his past. And look, please, let's not all start, we as Christians, going digging back in our past into things that we have said or done before we were Christians. Because I'll tell you what, I know in my case, it wouldn't be a pretty picture. So, but I trust that we'll ultimately get beyond that and realize there's too much at stake to be turning power over to somebody like a Raphael Warnock, who is a Marxist through and through. I mean, my goodness, I can barely believe that the people of Georgia sent someone like him back to the Senate again, and that we got two leftist Democrats in the Senate from Georgia, of all places. But I will tell you this, the left has been plotting this for a long time. And while the Republican Party and conservatives have been sleeping and taking business as usual, the left has been plotting taking over Georgia. You can read about it in that book I've mentioned several times, Brown is the New White by Steve Phillips. They were plotting it a decade or more ago, and they've almost taken it. Okay, let's take one more. We'll take a couple more.
Good afternoon, Bishop. This is Dr. Melvin Johnson from Texas.
All right, Dr. Johnson.
I'm certainly interested in getting your book and becoming a member of that would qualify me for that gift, and I've to certainly do that. But in the meantime, one of the things, and I think it's in the same spirit of your book, there is a history that has been totally, let's just say practically omitted from the history books and even from our churches, and primarily we as a people, and I'm talking about Black America, and that is, I think you will hit on that as far as, like from Texas, the Republican Party of Texas was started on July the 4th, 1867 by 120 blacks and 20 whites, or 150 blacks and 20 whites. And that's our legacy. Our legacy is not poverty. It's not crime and misery. Our legacy is that was based on the Bible first, then the Declaration of Independence, and then the U.S. Constitution. And we need to get back to that, not just we as blacks, but all of us as Americans. Thank you very much.
Amen. Pastor Nolan, you hit the nail on the head. I mean, right, you're right. We're not told the truth about our history because it doesn't work for them. It doesn't work for the left. So they have to tell lies about our history. And you're right. They will have a caricature of what black culture is. Black culture is crime. Black culture is rap music. Black culture is poverty. Black culture is slavery. Well, there's so much more to it than that. And again, nobody wants to talk about the fact that there were thousands of black slave owners in the South, free black people who owned slaves. Once again, pointing out it's not the skin, it's really the sin. So thank you, Pastor Melvin, man. You've been a tremendous voice on this, and I know written several books yourself. So, and thank you for your service. Dr. Melvin Johnson, by the way, is the stand president for Texas. Okay, we've got a couple more. Let's take them.
Hi, Bishop. This is Claire Lopez in Northern
Virginia. Hey, Claire.
Thank you for that wonderfully inspiring message. It's exactly what we need right now. But I also wanted to point to your comments about how the Marxist communists are using race as a wedge issue, because here in America, because of our opportunity that's available to everyone in the capitalist free market system, the economic wedge didn't work. I would point to a book that you might already know, but maybe others would be interested to hear, Color, Communism, and Common Sense is the name of the book, written by a guy named Manning Johnson, published in 1958, and it's the story of this young man, well, back then young man, who came from a very good family, Baptist family, but got drawn into communism. And he got drawn in because the message was about race and how, African Americans were oppressed and discriminated against, which, in fact, they were in the early 20th century. That's certainly true. But he found out later how racist the communists themselves were, and he broke away. But the point being how communism uses race as a wedge issue, Color, Communism, and Common Sense, Manning Johnson.
Amen. I have not read the book, Claire, but I've heard of the book, and I'm glad you reminded me of it because it's a book I've wanted to read. So this is not new, folks. This is stuff that's been going on for quite some time. You all know that W.E.B. Du Bois got recruited into the Communist Party. I'm thinking of somebody else. It'll come to me. But a number of prominent black leaders were recruited into the Communist Party using race as a wedge issue. So, Claire, you are absolutely right. Okay, we've got one more. I'll take that one, and we'll be done.
Hi, Pastor Jackson. Thank you so much for your inspiration. This is Rosemary in Meade, Pennsylvania.
Hey, Rosemary.
I just have 3 points, quick points. And first of all, thank you for that, as Dr. Marlene said, about that we are the refounders of America. That's awesome thought. And I just want to share I just saw a friend's T-shirt yesterday or Sunday, and it really says a lot. Heaven has borders to cross, of course, the operative word being crossed, and hell has open borders, open to all. And I thought, wow. That just, to me, that says a lot.
Amen. It does.
I love it.
That's right. All right.
And the other thing is, I like the acronym Stinkin' Thinkin'. And, you know, we all deal with people who have crooked thinking, stinkin' thinking. And the worst are apathy and people that have given up. And I just want to declare that I'm going to use Psalm 150, because if you have breath, then, you know, you're here for, your purpose is still alive, according to God. And it's just,
amen.
And tell me.
Oops. Now, did I lose her, or did she?
It dawned on me that when people say, no, I'm good, you know, it's like, I came back and said, like, you know what? You're not good. I'm not good. We're not good. We're about ready to sink the ship. So that expression to answer to them when they respond with, I'm good, that is such a big lie. I'm good. In the meantime, we're sinking.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, listen, God bless you. We know right now our country is not good, but it needs to be, and God wants it to be, and we're going to make sure that it becomes the good country that God intended for it to be from the very beginning. Listen, God bless each and every one of you. I've enjoyed this year with you, spending time with you, and we've got a lot more left to do. 2023 is upon us, and so let's get ready to take no prisoners. We're going to take this thing. We're going to take our country back for the Judeo-Christian values, the constitutional principles and godly principles that made this nation the greatest nation in the history of mankind. So stand up, step up, speak up, refuse to back up, because we cannot be defeated if we will not quit, because we are on God's side.